driving down this hill right here, and all of a sudden we see Denise and Nicole Brown walking up, and they were so amazing that we had to pull over. We pulled over right here, and we started talking to them and said, we'd like to take your picture. And so this is where it happened, right here down in Monarch Bay at the beach.
I was a photography major at Brooks Institute of Photography back in the 70s. And one weekend, my best friend, Mike Priscilla, and I were coming down to Monarch Bay to go to the beach to look at the waves at Salt Creek. And these two beautiful gals were walking up from the beach, and we stopped our cars. We both had Porsches, and we pulled over and we started talking, and we just became best friends from there. We said we were photography students, and I told her my parents lived in Monarch Bay, where Nicole and Denise lived, in the Brown, all the Brown family. We just became bestest friends. We just hit it off, and we just enjoyed our times together. When I would come down from school, I would photograph her and her sister for school projects. From that time, I would go to school, and then every couple weeks I'd come down, and you know, or we'd call it and talk to each other, and then we'd go up to the, I'd go up to her house, and we'd go see the whole family, Lou and Judy Brown, and we just became the bestest. So one time we Mike Priscilla and I came down. He came down again. We took the girls for a ride in our cars. I took Nicole in my Porsche. I had a 67 912, and my friend had a 911. And we decided to take a ride, and we took them up to this empty parking lot that back in the 70s there was nothing in Laguna Niguel. And so we drove in this parking lot, and I went super, super fast, and I spun out, and I remember spinning out, and just she's screaming and goes, ah! And it was like, we just had a ball. I mean, was how our friendship was. Until I can remember I was, graduated from Brooks Institute, and I got a job in Dallas, Texas. So I moved away to Dallas, and I worked for a photographer there, and was there for about a little over a year, and working for a photographer, and we did a lot of food photography. So I was an assistant, which was a lot of fun, and that's how I got to know photography business and how it worked and how the money and how you got paid. And so it was a lot of fun, but I just wasn't a fan of Texas. Unfortunately, I decided that I'm better off back here. I'd rather come home. So I left Texas and moved back to Laguna to my parents' house for a short time. And I said, I'm gonna start looking for a job in Los Angeles. So I did. I would drive my car up to Los Angeles. I would knock on doors to all the different photographers to try to get an assistant job, because in photography, that was the best, to try to assist another photographer. And so I kept doing that for about a week or two, about 2 weeks. And I remember this photographer liked my portfolio from school, and I had a lot of pictures of Nicole and Denise. So they really enjoyed, his name was Bill Wirtz. And he says, yep, you got this job. If you want, you got to come back here at 5 a.m. We're going to shoot a job for Honda Motorcycles. So you need to be back here at 5. So I was like, it was unbelievable. It was the greatest job. So I got there. I was even got there at 4:30. I was so excited. And he was the nicest photographer that I worked for almost almost 12 years. I was actually assistant for 6 years, and then I became a photographer. But in the meantime, I would come down on the weekends. I would come down here, and then I got a studio apartment in Los Angeles. It was on First and Virgil. So when I would come down, I would see Nicole, and we'd talk about photography. She was about to graduate. She had just turned 18, and she told her parents that she wants to move in with Pinky. That was my nickname, Pinky, because when I surfed, I got sunburned. So I was Pinky LeBon, they called me. Anyway, and Nicole would always call me just Pinky. It wasn't Dave or David unless she was very serious. And so she asked her parents, she said, well, can I move up with David and learn about photography? And the parents were like, I don't know, but she was 18. So anyway, so she moved in. I had a studio apartment. It was a small little apartment. I had one bed, the kitchen was there, one bathroom and shower, no telephones, I didn't have anything. And Nicole said, well, I need a telephone. Well, I don't like telephones. So anyway, I didn't have a telephone. But anyway, she moved up there. She slept in the bed, I slept on the floor. I can remember we'd make popcorn at night. We'd watch movies, you know, on TV. And we'd go to Pink's and go out to eat. We'd go to, you know, Tommy's Burgers. And then at night, I would go into the studio. Bill let me use the studio at night. And she wanted to learn photography, Nicole. And so I would teach her about the camera and how to light. We do a lot of lighting drills. So I would show her how, you know, I would light her, do a Polaroid, and then I would explain to her how this is what, you know, what f-stop and this. And so I taught her everything about the cameras, about shutter speed, f-stops, and, you know, everything that I had learned over the years. And I first started photography in early 70s. I started doing surf photography and got published in a number of surfing magazines. And from then, I just, my love of photography. So I would teach the camera to Nicole at this time. And so she was with me about, I don't know, a couple months. And I would take her to, I would play on an advertising softball league. And it was the nicest group of advertising guys. Some of them were in the printing business. Some were worked at ad agencies, at different agencies that I'd worked for. We're having a lot of fun. I'd go work during the day. And then, of course, one day she said, Dave, I want to go find a job on my own. So I let her take my car, and she decided to go to Beverly Hills. So I gave her the Thomas guides. We didn't have Waze or anything back then. So she would use the Thomas guide. And I said, the best place is to go to Beverly Hills and look like in around Rodeo Drive if you want, because, you know, she was so beautiful and so sweet that she could, you know, she could get a job anywhere. So she came back and she told me she got a job at Jack's, which was a women's clothing store on Rodeo Drive. And Jack also owned a restaurant called The Daisy. And so she worked at the clothing store for about a week, and he goes, you know what? I think you're better suited at my restaurant, The Daisy. Well, The Daisy was a known spot on Rodeo. For a lot of movie stars would hang out there, sports celebrities like O.J. Simpson and many other players like that. And anyway, so one day she said, after she was waitressing there at the Daisy, she came home and said, I met this this football player. And I said, oh, wow, what's his name? And she goes, O.J. Simpson. And I said, oh, my gosh, wow, he's incredible. He's the best running back. There is. I mean, he was incredible back in the day. And I just, I said, you know, he is married. And she goes, well, he was really, really nice. And I said, it doesn't matter. He's a married man. And I tried to explain to her. I said, I just don't think it's a good idea. And anyway, she didn't listen to me. And I was trying to be like a father figure, but more like a big brother, because she was a little bit younger than I was. I was trying to, you know, she was 18 years old. And I just, anyway, it's, I look back on it now and I just, I feel really bad that, you know, that I didn't, wasn't stronger then and didn't say, no, you really shouldn't do this. Well, she went out on that date. And I said, you know, try to be home by 12 o'clock. I was trying to be like a dad, you know. And I said, please try to be home by 12 if you can. I remember I met him that night and he drove a Bentley and it said Juice on it. And he just was all about OJ. It was OJ this, OJ that. And he just, you know, he didn't really like her living with me. He wasn't really a fan. And she got home that night at like 2 o'clock. She comes in the door. I go, where the heck have you been? And she came in and her pants were ripped. And I said, what the hell? I can't believe this. Why would you let him do this? She goes, David, stop, stop. She told me David, not Pinky this time, because she was very serious. And I just, I couldn't believe it. I said, what are you thinking? And she goes, well, I think I really like this guy. So from that point on, they started dating. Within a week, he didn't want her living with me, even though I was just strictly platonically a friend. He got her an apartment, got her a car, and that was it. We still became friends. Sorry. Anyway, just thinking back, I kind of really regret. I really regret that she went out with OJ and that I let her come up and live with me in Los Angeles, because I kind of feel guilty now about her living with me and then meeting him. You know, I just, it's tragic. It's a tragic story, and I loved her so much. I loved Nicole. She was like the little sister that I didn't have. And to this day, I regret it.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information.
We remained friends. We'd see each other on and off. OJ bought a house eventually down in Victoria Beach and Laguna Beach. But we come down and we play like Monopoly at the parents' house. And I can remember he would, he always had to win at everything. When I played golf with him at Riviera, I could tell he fudged on his card. He was something else. Anyway, it was always about OJ this, OJ that. But, you know, Nicole and I kept in contact. I had worked for this photographer, for Bill Wirtz, for years now, and started to get a lot of my own clients. And eventually I met my wife, and I got married, and I invited Nicole and OJ to my wedding. We had 250 people. And I can remember one of the things there at my wedding was that my father-in-law was a Marine, and so he had a sword to cut the cake. And I can remember this picture of OJ with two of my wife's cousins holding the sword, and he was like, you know, holding it. And, you know, I always remember that. And anyway, I got married. That we had a great, it was a good time. Then eventually, Nicole and OJ, I guess he had gotten a divorce from Marguerite. They decided to get married a couple years later. And so we were invited to their wedding. It was a wonderful wedding. It was, everybody was there. I mean, everybody and anybody was at this wedding at Rockingham. And we just had a great time, a wonderful time. We just had so much fun. It was happy then. It was happy times. She seemed very happy. She really did love him, you know. She loved O.J.
You were the photographer, correct?
Yeah, I was one of the, they were at the, they hired a professional, but my pictures came out much better, I think, than the pro did. But I took my own camera, so I took tons and tons of pictures of their wedding, and they seemed so happy, and she seemed, you know, she was ecstatic that she had this wonderful life. I had a son, Joseph, and then she had Sydney, and so we'd get together with our kids, you know, every so often, and then we started to grow apart. My business started to take off in photography. I was a car photographer in advertising. I would work for some of the top ad agencies all over the United States. And I got to travel. I got to travel to Europe and all over to shoot different cars as they did a lot of work for Range Rover and a lot of the big clients. And so my career and her life and my life were different. I was living this time in Manhattan Beach. And then I eventually, we needed a bigger house as I had more and more children, which I did. I had four boys. I moved to Redondo, South Redondo, where I had a larger house. And then she moved to she was in the Rockingham house, and she had Sydney and then Justin. So from then, I mean, we really, you know, our lives kind of were apart. And I invited them for New Year's Eve, and this to come to a New Year's Eve party down in Redondo. And she said, "Oh, I think we're gonna have a party here." And that was the night that I had heard that they had gotten this big fight, and it was on the news that he beat her, hit her, and you know, it's just unbelievable thinking of that now. I was in my studio. I remember I had a studio in Culver City, and I was there at my desk when I got a call that that Nicole Brown Simpson had been killed. And I just couldn't believe it. It just was the most tragic, unbelievable thing, because I'd loved her. I really did love her a lot. I'm sorry. Anyway, she just was special. She was a special woman. And nobody really knew how special she was, but, you know, she got married very young and met this man that was abusive, and an abusive life. And I don't know how any man could ever hit any woman. And I just, to this day, oh my gosh. I don't know. It's just the most tragic story ever. And we decided, my wife and I, to have a memorial at our house in Redondo. So we had everybody there for this memorial. And when I was at the, I remember everybody there was a pallbearer, okay? I got to carry the casket. And unfortunately, the open casket, I got to see it when it was open. And I fell apart. And it just was so tragic, this whole thing. After Nicole had been beaten by her husband, I knew that it was O.J. Simpson that did this. O.J. Simpson killed his wife. And there was other story. My wife sat on the beach with Nicole one time, And she told her that she was afraid that OJ was gonna slash her with knives because he collected knives. He was somehow into knives. I don't know why this guy was into knives, but I knew he did it. And like I go back in my mind, you know, if I would have known that this guy, you know, this man was like that, I would have never let her go out that night. But there was nothing I can do. They fell in love, and I don't know. I remember we were on a boat in the harbor at Redondo Beach, cruising. We went out. We had just gone out of the harbor when we heard this on the news that we had the radio on in the boat, and we were going for a sail. And I was with the Cherms, which are now my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. I thought, oh my gosh, this guy, I mean, what, if you're not guilty, why would you do this? You know, why would you run? And the police are chasing you and AC's in the car. Well, my wife at the time and I knew a lot of information. And so we were called by Marcia Clark to go to the trial, and they were hopefully were going to use us. So we would go and sit up in the room up, I don't know what you call it, and we'd wait and see when they were going to call us. And unfortunately, they never did. If they would have, we would have told a lot of the things, like the story of my wife were on the beach with Nicole, and how they, you know, that how she was scared of her life. And, you know, and so the trial, unfortunately, my wife and I were never called. But I would have, you know, the things that I knew from the first night, I wanted to, you know, tell them about her ripped pants. I mean, that would have, stuff like that, they could have used. And the information that my ex-wife knew that she had told her, I mean, this would have been useful in the trial. I think the trial was, you know, and one of the big things that really upset me was when the DA switched the trial from Santa Monica to downtown Los Angeles. I think that was full political on him. And I think if it would have been in Santa Monica, the trial, I think, would have turned out differently. And that's my thoughts on that. I mean, I think he got off, and you could tell that Kardashian knew. I mean, you knew on his face that he couldn't believe it, because he knew. And then Howard Weitzman knew, his first attorney. I was on location shooting for Lexus in Idaho, and I ran into him in this hotel that I was staying at for the shoot, and he, in not so many words, he said that he knew that he did it. Anyway, it's the way things turned out were very unfortunate, and a tragic loss to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gal. They were more concerned with the children, Justin and Sydney, about their feelings about their father. So they didn't show, Judy and Lou didn't really show their emotions to the children, because they were really worried about their feelings. I remember that very well. And I can remember when we were at the mortuary for the memorial. I remember my OJ saying something, I loved her so much, to her, and when the casket was there. And but the Browns were they didn't really express how they felt about, I think they might have with their closer with maybe their kids, but not to me so much, even though we were still very close. I mean, I stayed close with the Browns forever. You know, I moved back to Laguna and still remained friends with Mrs. Brown. And I remember once we went on a horseback ride with Sydney and Justin. We had taken the kids for a horseback ride. And I remember, I think it was Justin asked, "Where's my mommy now?" And my ex-wife said, "Well, I think she's in heaven." So we saw the kids, and then from then when they started to grow up, we didn't, but remained close with all the Browns, with Tanya and Dominique and Denise. Life now for me is wonderful. I do think of her because I have taken hundreds and hundreds of pictures of Nicole. So when one of the pictures will come up on my phone, and I'll see her, and I'll think of Nicole. But yeah, 30 years. It's been 30 years, and so. The most tragic thing, but I loved the family. I loved all of them. They're still close in my mind, and she's still in my heart. I mean, she truly was a great, great friend. I mean, that's really just my life with Nicole Brown. And she was just, you had to really know Nicole. She was the sweetest, wonderful, the most beautiful woman inside and out. Anyway, that's all.